We're talking about the hidden life of prayer, and we've been talking about actually how to do the praying, what to include, and why. We want to get back to the actual question. There are religions all over the world that people just made things up, witchcraft and all kinds of occultism that think that you can exercise your will over others and over nature, whatever, if you just learn how to do it. And one of the ways that they do that is by calling on what they consider to be names of power. Now, they don't believe that you have to be devoted to that person whose name you're calling upon. They don't believe that you need to know anything about them. They are just sort of forces of power. And you call on that name, and they're bound to do what you say for some reason. Those who talk about comparative religions would see Christianity, then, as just another form of that. That is not what we do in prayer. We have our faith to pray as God has encouraged us to do, but we recognize that it is only because he's given us that authority. We do not pray because we want to pray, though it should come to that. We pray because God has said, you should come to me in prayer. So let us recognize that true prayer and the prayer of faith cannot be prayed without the assurance that God authorized it. If this is just you seeking control of your environment, it's not really prayer. It's some sort of a chant spell, some occultism. This is wrong thinking. So let's look at just a few reasons about our authorization from God. The first is our first authorization is the Word of God. And by this, I don't mean just the idea of the Bible. That's how we know the Word of God. But I'm talking about when God gives his Word, we can count on it being true. Notice with me several verses here. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. Usually that translates to justice. A God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is he. So if he says it, it's true. See, 2 Samuel 7:28. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true. And thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Here he's claiming a promise, not out of presumption, but because God said it, and he is a God who is true. His words are true. Isaiah 65:16, that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. He that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, because he is hid from mine eyes. They are hid from mine eyes. So, in this, talking about prayer, talking about calling upon God, you're calling upon the one who is the God of truth. In the New Testament, Romans 3:4, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and thou mightest overcome when thou art judged. The point be here, what if nobody else believes? What does it matter? The truth is the truth whether anybody believes it. And God is true if everybody says he's wrong. Let God be true, and everybody that's saying the wrong thing, they're just a liar. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. The new covenant set before man was created. promised eternal life. Eternal life. And he cannot lie. He is the truth. So we recognize that the promises of God are sure, you see? And whether that his word is about blessing or judgment, what he says is sure. Listen to Ezekiel 12:25. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. How final is that? It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. So he's talking to Israel about their coming capture and Babylonian captivity. And he says, if I say it, I don't say it in vain. All right, so our first authorization for a prayer of faith is the Word of God. Secondly, the truth of the Word of God rests on his character. See, I can give you my word, but if my character is such that I don't keep my word, then you've got a different problem, you see. You could actually find that would be likely the truth, but I'm just not going to keep it because I don't have that kind of character. Daniel is our example here. He prayed for the end of Israel's captivity, but he prayed a prayer of faith based on a twofold authority. And that was, first, he understood God promised 70 years to Jeremiah. 70 years of captivity. God limited himself to 70 years. Now granted, 70 years is a long time. But God said it. And here, Daniel finds himself nearing the end of that 70 years. He read it in the scroll of Jeremiah. And that's not all, you see. But he also recognized that God cannot lie. So secondly, God's character. I want you to listen to his words as he prays for God to fulfill the promise and end the captivity. This is in Daniel 9:18. O my God, incline thine ear. You know, you incline, lean over, listen to me. And hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. That's Jerusalem. Whereupon thy name is called. For we do not present, we do not cause to fall our supplications before thee for our righteousness. He says, the whole basis of my prayer to you is not based on how good we are. You know, basically, Lord, you know what we're like. This is what got us into this problem in the first place, you knowing what we were like. But why did he pray? But for thy great mercies. He was counting on God's character to keep his promise to the year. We find then, therefore, the Bible teaches us to pray for thy name's sake. The name represents the very character of God. And we often think of this as a New Testament thing. Let me share with you the Old Testament verses. Psalm 25:11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. See, not because I deserve it, but for thy name's sake, pardon mine iniquity. Psalm 31:3, for thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me for your glory, for your honor. Psalm 79:9, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sin for thy name's sake. Honor your name, glorify your name by your miraculous work for us. Psalm 109:21, but do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake. Do this for me for your name's sake. Because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. Because of who you are, because of your character, Psalm 143:11, quicken me, make me alive, O God, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. So again, as we go to prayer, let's recognize that we have the truth of the Word of God on our side. God has told us to pray. God has said that he could answer. And by his character, we know that he wouldn't lie, and in fact is truth, and therefore cannot lie. Two other thoughts tonight. One is our relationship with God is our authority. I love the story I heard, I have no idea if it's true, that many years ago, a man came to the White House seeking a visit with the president. And while he was standing there looking around, a young boy, less than 12 years old, came up to him and said, "Do you need some help?" And he said, "Well, thank you for asking, but I really hope that somehow, some way, I could get to see the president." And the boy said, "Well, follow me." And he walked on over, opened the door to the Oval Office, and said, "Dad, this man wants to see you." There were no guards that stopped this young man. He was going to see his father. Our relationship with God is our authority because God is our Father. Matthew 7:11. Christ says to the men there, "If ye, you human fathers, then, being evil, as you know you are, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" The child that asks, "Could I have something to eat?" You know, the father would not give him something poisonous or dangerous. How much more will the perfect father be happy to give the good things to them that ask him? And then finally, I want you to recognize that that God's bounty is our authority. You see, if you came to me and said, "Pastor, I know it's a lot to ask, but I have some financial problems, and if you could just give me $30,000-$40,000, I would really, really appreciate it." I'd say, "Tough luck, dude," or something along that line. Don't have it. Can't give it. But you know, we're not asking somebody who's going through hard times. We're asking the God of the universe. God is the source of all our blessing. Listen to Christ's encouragement to us concerning going to him and asking him for the things we need. He says in Matthew 10:29-31, "Are not two sparrows," little birds, "sold for a farthing," you know, a little bit of nothing, "and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father." He pays attention to the bird that falls out of the nest. "But compared with sparrows and you, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." You're probably up to 5 or 6 farthings. I don't even know what a farthing is, but this is the point of it. He cares for you. He cares everything about you. Nancy and Dave love each other, but she hasn't counted the hairs on his head. You know, that's pretty obsessive, you know. take a microscope and start combing through, and then keeping a record of it. I mean, really, that's the level of his concern. one of my favorite verses, and I'll take you through it again, though I have before. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You get what he's saying? All that we ask. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? That's like genie in the bottle stuff, you know, all that we ask. But he goes further than that. All that we ask or think. Maybe we're thinking about it, we wouldn't even dare to say it. But he goes beyond that. Above all that we ask or think. He goes beyond that. Abundantly above all that we ask or think. And when you think it couldn't get any better than that, he says, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And then let me close with James 1:17. He just summarizes it this way. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Has a good thing ever happened to you? You may mark its descent from God. It's from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, no eclipse of this light, neither shadow of turning. So our prayer of faith is based on the fact that God said it, his character cannot lie, that he is our Father. We have that relationship. See the people giving their spells, putting out their spells. They don't have a relationship with this source, this power. They just think calling on the name is enough, see, and it's not. This is why the prayers of the unsaved are an abomination to God. And then we're calling upon one whose bounty is endless. And so we're not asking for more than he can give. Make some sense? So that's our authorization for a prayer of faith.